Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to question 824, and I am joined again today by Gail Carriger, who is here with me to answer a question from Rose, who asks,
I have been told that each scene needs to have certain elements such as conflict and or resolution. What elements do you recommend most or all scenes contain? How do you define a scene? For example, there are 10 people at a dinner party, dozens of separate conversations that goes on for 50 pages. Is that the scene? Or is each one of the conversations, some of which may only be a few paragraphs, a scene? Or some grouping in between?
We've both written books like this.
This is such a hard question. Yeah, I like to joke that most of my books are something explodes and then people run around and then they all sit down and have tea and talk about it. This is such a hard question. Dan, I think you should take it first, because then I can feed off of you.
Okay. Well, I tend to approach those based on an approach I picked up when I read a book from David Mamet years and years ago, or maybe it was a lecture or something, where he talks about the way that he carries the audience through his dialogue so well, even though it seems really irrelevant, is that he approaches his conversations from the angle that each character has an agenda they want to achieve, whether it's nefarious or friendly. And that gives each character a goal, so there's conflict as they work it out between them, and then there's a resolution to the conversation. So each conversation is a small story, which makes up a scene, which is nested inside a larger story, inside a larger story. So it's kind of like Russian Matryoshka dolls. So that's how I tend to approach the structure of stuff like that.
I heard, I'm trying to remember where, and I'm afraid I don't, but I remember listening to someone talk about this once, and they described it in a way, which I think, tying into previous conversations in this series, I gravitate towards because it has a very heroine's journey feel to it, but they talked about it as every character has a void that needs to be filled. And that void can be one of many different things. And generally speaking, if you're writing a heroine's journey, that void is going to be filled by information, communication, or another person.
Connection.
Whereas, a hero's journey is going to be filled by an achievement, a goal, an object, a power of some kind. And also, it can also be information. But information upon which he can act. And so in terms of like pure structure for me when writing a book, I think about scenes as things that are divided from each other by a scene break, like literally three asterisks together, which is how I define a scene break. And for me, I see those segments as under one point of view character's voice.
Yes.
If you're writing multiple POVs, so that's one way to distinguish the scene. And then it in my brain, it is very like a movie scene. So
yes.
I write genre. And so setting is very important when you're writing genre. Setting is character from almost all genres, especially if you're in the science fiction or fantasy tangential arena. And so a scene is literally a change of scene. So the setting is shifting when I'm going to do a new scene, or the point of view is shifting on the same scene. So I want to jump from one person's head to another person's head to show a different take on the same situation. And you can think of it as, you know, the camera literally shooting out of somebody's eye, you know, that person can't what they see. And if the camera changes or the direction of the camera changes to a different person, then that's when you need to jump a scene break. Or if your camera is moving to a different location, that's if you're writing omniscient, that's when you jump a scene break. And I have to say, I will admit that I have struggled with this on occasion because sometimes I want a scene break as almost like a large breath pause for my readers. And I will lean into that sometimes too hard. And generally speaking, this is when either usually my developmental editor will come to me and just be like, why is there a scene break here? And I'm like, well, that's because like psychologically there was a real huge emotional impact at the end of that scene as I thought of it. And we actually didn't move anywhere or go anywhere or change point of view characters. So it really doesn't justify a break. I just kind of wanted one there. It interrupts flow. Sorry, go ahead. Now.
There's a trick I picked up from Douglas Adams because he did that kind of thing. But instead of having a line break or an asterisk, He would pull the cinematographer's trick of moving to an establishing shot for a moment, and then coming back. So there was that big emotional release, like in Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Yes.
It's a big emotional release where he would talk about the ducks on the river cam or something.
Yes.
And then he would come back to the conversation when the main character had sort of regained his emotional footing. And I've found that's a really useful trick for that kind of break.
It is a good trick, but the issue with that, and heaven forfend I take issue with Douglas Adams because I adore him so much, and Terry Pratchett, and both of them, I think, do this. And the issue is that you distance
yes.
from, you emotionally distance from your characters if you give your reader a space to breathe by switching to a moment of description or what. And if you're writing something like romance,
yeah.
where you really want your readers to feel every pulse beat of it, you don't really want to break with humor or description at a pivotal moment. You kind of want to just end the scene there. So sometimes you might choose to have an entire chapter shift in the middle of a scene like that, because you want to leave your readers in a highly emotional state and invested, and then of course wanting to read on. But you also want that kind of moment of breather. I hope that's making
sense. No, it does, because I use the same trick in my thrillers. Exactly the same thing, you know, where I'll break in the middle of the conversation and go to something else that's high tension but in a different way, and then come back, and so you've got that cliffhanger that's pulling them all the way through.
Yeah, so it can be a point where you're thinking about, ooh, I would like to, some instinct of your writer nature says, I'd love to put a scene break here. You might think, ooh, maybe it's a chapter break that I'm actually reaching for.
Yep, and the other in-between technique from those two is to use the establishing shot, but to keep it so tight in the character's perspective and emotions that it's completely coloring everything they're seeing.
Ooh, yeah.
So, say they're in a location that's moody, and it could be beautiful moody, like when I lived on the beach at night, there was this gorgeous fog that made everything glow. And you'd go out at night, and the streetlights were just, they had these halos around them, and it was like you were in fairyland. Or if you were in a bad mood, you'd go into the same place, and the shadows huddled thick around the narrow pools of light, and you didn't know where the danger was lurking. Same thing, same environment, but the difference in the emotive words you chose could put a main character in either frame of mind in that situation. So you use the establishing shot technique, but without emotionally distancing.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Yeah, I like that a lot. This is a moment where if you're writing a connection scene between friends or lovers, you can move from emotional dialogue to touch to physical contact or descriptions of it.
And this is also, in a weird way that's kind of sideways applicable here, the bouncing off each other that you and the audience are seeing here, we've been doing this any time we get together for the last 10 years or more.
So true.
And because of that, our conversations tend to have a weird scene and break structure to them that's weirdly appropriate for this question.
It's very true. It's very true.
Oh my God, it's been almost 15 years now.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I wonder how many authors speak like they write.
I have no idea. Sometimes I think it's one way and sometimes I think it's another. But I think that's all I've got. Have you got anything else?
No, I think that's good.
Then that wraps it up for us here. Thank you very much, Rose, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.